You could be voting on an Indigenous voice to Parliament within a year if the government sticks to its referendum timeline. But before any details have been released, the Nationals Party have already said they'll oppose the vote.
It would be better to try and continue to close that gap outside constitutional change so that we still have that agility, and we believe that we should be empowering local communities, because a solution to closing the gap in Wilcannia and in Alice Springs and in Carnarvon is different to that in Redfern.
That's the Nationals leader David Littleproud speaking to the program earlier. Noel Pearson is the founder of the Cape York Partnership, a lawyer, academic, land rights activist, and of course, well-known Uluru Statement from the Heart activist. Welcome to the program, Noel.
Thank you, Patricia.
The Nationals are the first major party to confirm they will be campaigning against The Voice. Are you surprised by this?
Oh, I am very surprised, because I've spoken to almost every National Senator and MP over recent years, and of all of the political parties, the Nationals were the most supportive of the idea of The Voice. They're better than the Liberals, better than some Labor Party people. And this has been my experience for the last 10 years. A number of MPs have told me that the reason they were open to The Voice was that they have Aboriginal people in their electorates. They see Aboriginal people every day. Aboriginal people enter their doors of their offices. And so this is just a complete turnaround for the National Party. Many people in that party room are people who only, what, 6-7 months ago I spoke with before the election, and I got a very positive reading from all of the meetings I had with them. Michael McCormack, the former leader, you could not find somebody more articulate and supportive of The Voice. So obviously, something has changed here in the National Party.
Do you know what it is, Noel?
Well, it's obviously Jacinta Price's entry into the Parliament that has turned everything around. But it is also this leader, this apparent supposed leader, Littleproud, a man of little pride. And he's like a kindergarten kid, not a leader. The Nationals have foisted the mantle of leadership on a boy who's incapable of the leadership that's necessary for the country and for his party. I really think that the National Party is writing itself off for the future.
That's really interesting analysis. He says, David Littleproud, who we spoke to earlier, that the party consulted with all sides of the debate. He named members of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, Megan Davis, and he says he's come to the conclusion that it's not the right thing to do. It won't close the gap. What's your response to that?
He did a quick ring around, Patricia, last week. A quick ring around, a tick and flick. He knew he needed to show some semblance of consultation, so he rang Megan Davis and Pat Anderson out of the blue and had a conversation with them. This was just all about giving the appearance of consultation. As you noted in your introduction, he's made a choice even before an official government model is tabled in the Parliament. So he's voting against something that still hasn't been settled by the government and put to the Parliament. This is an entirely preemptive decision. It's really Jacinta's decision. And Littleproud should, as soon as possible, hand over the leadership to her, because this is not his leadership. He is showing absolutely no leadership whatsoever. It's completely inconsistent, as I say, with the history of the National Party members' respectful engagement with the idea of a voice. Instead, he has completely capitulated to Jacinta's leadership on this.
Isn't the problem for the Yes campaign, though, that Jacinta Price is an Indigenous woman, and when she stands up and says that this won't help her people, it carries weight that it wouldn't if she was non-Indigenous?
Oh, absolutely. Jacinta's a very compelling figure, but she's caught in a vortex. She's caught in a vortex that reminds me of Pauline Hanson 26 years ago, because Pauline Hanson got caught in a vortex, and it's a celebrity vortex. A celebrity vortex that's very compelling, that gets her out in front of people and it gets a lot of cheers. But it's also a redneck celebrity vortex. And, you know, and ultimately it's a tragic redneck celebrity vortex that she's caught up in. And it involves right-wing people, particularly the Sydney and Melbourne-based right-wing think tanks, the Institute of Public Affairs and the Centre for Independent Studies. They're the string pullers. They're the ones who have lined up behind Jacinta. This has been a campaign in the making over the last 3 years. And their strategy was to find a black fella to punch down on other black fellas. And it's
you think it was a deliberate strategy from those people to try and find a black voice that led the No campaign inside of their own ranks?
Absolutely. You know, this is the lines, the bullets are fashioned by the CIS and the IPA, but the person pulling the trigger it's a black hand that's pulling the trigger. And this has been in the making for a number of years now, even before Jacinta entered Parliament. And I sincerely believe this is a tragic situation, a tragic celebrity vortex that will make something of a political career for Jacinta, but will produce no solutions for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australia. I discern in Jacinta's rhetoric no solutions. No attempt to articulate real solutions for people back at Yuendumu, for people back at Aurukun.
It's funny you say that
people,
because
my people,
those regional people are the people that they're pointing to, saying that this body will be a body for Redfern and not those people, that they will be silenced in this voice. What's your answer to that?
There are good people suffering in Redfern who have needs, Indigenous people, same as they are in Lockhart River and Aurukun and Pomperow and Yuendumu and so on. Aboriginal people have needs all over Australia. This attempt to try and say that one kind of suffering is somehow different to other deprivation is the kind of divide and rule that the Centre for Independent Studies and the Institute of Public Affairs, I'm talking about Tom Switzer, I'm talking about Janet Albrechtson, these are the people who are behind this whole championing of the voices of Aboriginal people who are given celebrity status amongst the right-wing constituency. For what result? I mean, if I were Jacinta, I would reflect on the 26 years since Pauline Hanson became got into that vortex 26 years ago. What has she achieved for her people in those 26 years, other than a collection of stunts?
So where does that leave you, though, Noel Pearson, and the movement, the Yes movement? Has it been dealt a death blow from the Nationals, a mainstream political party, saying this early that they'll be campaigning no?
No, not at all. Absolutely not at all. There are two kinds of people in the bush, you know. There's this kind of heartless, couldn't give a stuff about blackfellas group that Little Proud represents, just ready to manipulate and take advantage of circumstances like this. But then there's a decent end. People like Michael McCormack, there's lots of them in the party room. Can you believe it? There's decent people in that party room. But they're caught up in the foolishness of Jacinta, the, the tidal wave that Jacinda has started to cause because of this celebrity vortex. But you take somebody like Bob Catter, right? He puts a release out 3 days ago, having met a couple of women from Aurukun, whom he calls the invisible voices of Aurukun, during their trip to Canberra. He talks about them meeting with ministers and wanting to be heard. And this is what Bob says. Old Uncle Bob says this: Labor has one chance to get this voice to Parliament right, and it better listen up. You know, Bob Catter is the decent conservative from the bush. This is a person who has real empathy and he takes Aboriginal people seriously. He shares the pain that his Aboriginal brothers and sisters are enduring. Now, unfortunately, there are those two camps, and I believe that the Bob Catter camp, the decent conservatives, will go with us when the vote goes to a referendum. After all, it's just a squalid little political party, the Nationals, that is currently controlled by a kindergarten child. You know, it is only the National Party that have made this decision.
So let me put this to you. 44 referendums we've had in Australia. 8 have been successful, as you know, and those 8 have all had bipartisan support. This breaks that model in history. Does it put it at risk by being in a category that has never been successful before?
Well, you know, you would hope that a mature political party like the Nationals would have come behind this. You know, this is about Australia's future, after all. It's not just about Aboriginal people. It's about the country. It's about doing something we never did in the past. It's about giving something to the future of our children. And, of course, the Nationals' decision is disappointing. But, at the end of the day, you would have to say that the Nationals' constituency are already counted in the no vote. There is an overwhelming majority of Australians who are in favour of this voice. And, you know, the National Party is in danger of being left behind in history.
The Liberal Party is yet to form a position on the referendum, although you'd be thinking now that after the Nationals have done this, this might be swaying some of those key votes. What do you anticipate they will do?
I think Peter Dutton's a decent guy, and I think that it would be madness for the Liberal Party to not support this modest proposal. Constitutional recognition is an agenda that was started by John Howard. Let me repeat that again. Started by John Howard.
It was started by John Howard, but he's currently telling them that they should have a party position, which is no.
Of course, the position with Howard now is that he may not agree with where the constitutional policy discussion has ended. It's ended with a voice. He may say, no, I had a different idea back in 2007. But who can arrogate to themselves that kind of presumption that their own view should be the view that prevails? We've gone through 15 years of process, 15 years of political history since Howard kicked off the ball on constitutional recognition, and we've landed with a voice. And we landed with a voice under a Liberal National Party government. You know, we landed on the voice before Labor got elected this year. So it's just a matter of people like Howard respecting more than a dozen years of process, inquiry, research, parliamentary committees, reports being delivered to the parliament and so on. We've gone through a long history of this over a dozen years, and we've landed with the simple idea of a voice. It's the simple proposition that Aboriginal people should be able to tell the parliament their views on any laws that affect them. That is the simple and modest proposition. We landed on that under the aegis of a Liberal National Coalition government. And we should go forward on that basis.
I have watched you personally invest so much of your own political capital and time into trying to persuade the Conservatives to support this. In fact, you know, I'm old enough to remember that this was actually originally about a fig leaf to the Conservatives so they could get on board. Personally, how are you feeling given you've invested so much time to get the Conservative side of politics on board with this proposal?
You know, there's a distinction between Conservative politicians and the Conservative constituency. We're now beyond the politicians. The referendum vote will pass the Parliament. A majority vote authorising a referendum to be put will succeed in the Parliament. There is no longer any question about that, Patricia. The next question is where the Australian people land in the when they vote in a referendum. This process is now really up to the Australian people. It is up not up to the National Party politicians, it is up to the National Party voters. It's up to the voters in Wagga Wagga. It's up to the voters in Albury. It's up to the voters in all of the country towns and regional areas of the country. It will be up to them, those who traditionally vote Conservative. It will be up to them if they think the idea of recognising Indigenous people through an enshrined voice to the Parliament is something that Australia needs to do and should do and can do without disrupting our constitutional structure.
Noel Pearson, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Noel Pearson is the founder of the Cape York Partnerships. He's a lawyer, academic, land rights activist, and of course, a key architect of the Uluru Statement from the Heart.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.